AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's RUBRIK.com.
Whoa, Iron Man. There he is again.
All right. I'm glad he's gone.
Yeah, he's not coming back, obviously.
Well, I guess, I don't know, if you guys are ready to go ahead and start with the episode,
then we can...
Well, if you guys are going ahead, that's how basic you sound right now, bro.
Bro has hate in his heart. Bro cannot stand to see somebody speak with joy.
I know, it's not that. It's just like, you're constructed it so, like, all right, gang.
How? I was doing a bit.
Because I think Gunner... Gunner is purposely not doing it again because we've done that bit a lot, but then I don't know if he intentionally wanted us to think that he was. That's why Ben said that, because Ben still was under the impression that he would show Iron Man again, but he didn't.
All based on context.
Guys, come on!
Iron Man's not coming back. Let's just move on.
Iron Man's not coming back. That's how basic you sound right now.
I don't like.
Are we recording?
Okay, know, that's, it.
You tell that's us. It. You tell us. You tell us, Ben.
The only one who could stop this tension is Iron Man, but he's not coming back.
He's not coming back.
He's not coming back.
It's over. Welcome back to Reality with a Twist. I'm Ben.
I'm Gabriel.
I'm Gunner.
And I'm Dylan.
And welcome back. It's been a while since our last episode.
2 weeks.
It's been the normal amount of time.
It's been the normal amount of time.
Well, we used to do them weekly, so it feels like we're having a long time in between them.
Yeah, and one time we did them 2 months apart.
Yeah.
How have you guys been since our last episode?
I mean, nothing's really changed in my life.
Nothing to smile about in my life.
Yeah, I was going to say the same thing, Gib.
I mean, the sun's out today. So yeah.
It is very beautiful outside. I'm glad we found a time for us to record, but I would like to spend a little bit more time outside. But that's okay. You know what? It's all your guys' fault, and you guys weren't considerate to my wants and my needs. And I wanted to be outside, and you guys just said, we're not making that happen.
You can record. Get your laptop out. You can record outside if you want.
Yeah, I think I'll just have so much noise pollution, though. But I have my window open. I'm looking out.
The sounds of, like, birds tweeting.
Yeah.
Like, a gentle wind through trees. Okay, I can't take this anymore.
The grand old moose walking behind him in the background.
Hello, Gunner. Hello, Moose.
Hello, Mr. Moose.
It's been a while since we've had an episode not recorded at like 11:45
p.m. I think that's why the vibe is so off. I feel like we're not in our Arwat spirit right now because this isn't Arwat time.
Spirit of like just trying to get an episode done so we can all go to bed.
And a little bit of like kookiness from exhaustion in some of your guys' voices. None of that this time because we're recording at a very responsible time.
Yeah. That we are. I found Prime today.
Yeah, I wanted to know more about that.
What's up with that, Dylan?
So I went to Kroger to do some shopping today. I ended up getting some Prime, and one thing I forgot to share that I ended up getting, I've already kind of eaten it, though. They had it.
Oh, my God.
They had it.
What is that?
Beastables.
It's a Mr. Beast bar. I don't know. I whenever it's... My little own personal bit is like whenever I go to a store and I see a YouTuber influencer thing, I'm always compelled to at least buy it one time and just see like how it is. Today it was that and also a Prime bottle with an X logo on it.
Yeah,
like
Twitter flavor.
Twitter flavor. Twitter flavor prime, yeah.
Just apparently, a whole ass bird in the bottle. What the fuck?
Bird urine. No, it was... I actually ended up looking it up. Apparently, they just started doing a campaign where, like, you have to collect 12 unique prime bottles or some shit, and whoever does it first or something is, like, eligible to win $1 million. Like, you know, like, typical, like, McDonald's, like, you know, what they did with the Monopoly pieces, but instead of that, it's, like... prime bottles or something.
I feel like that would be easier because you can see them before you make the purchase. Like, because with McDonald's,
well, no, it's like the code inside of the lid.
Okay. I thought you just had to get 12 different flavors. And it's like, hell, I'll go to my store real quick. And no.
Please let me buy all of them.
Gabe going to the store and opening up every single prime bottle. I'm winning this.
His manager coming by. What are you doing, Gabe? I have to find them.
I really also like.
Excuse me.
It was a bit. It was part of the bit. Okay. Go.
All right. I also went to the store today. I was really craving something sweet, so I got some coconut creams. Coconut dreams, excuse me. I ate them all. They were super, super good.
Yeah. Samoas, bro.
Are they still called Samoas? Or
yeah.
The Girl Scouts call them Samoas. I just, whenever they're like Keebler brand or whatever brand, I just still call them Samosas because that's what everybody... Not Samoa, Samosas, Samoas.
There's two different companies that make Girl Scout cookies. And one of them, I believe, is the same company that makes Keebler.
Wow.
So when you buy Grasshoppers or Coconut Dreams, you're buying one of the brands that make Girl Scout cookies. I don't know what the other brand is, but one of them calls them Samoas and the other one calls them like Coconut Tasties or some such crap like that. But like if you say Samoas, Girl Scouts know what you mean. But they technically like have a different name, I guess. But,
gotcha. But well, I got those, and I got some potting soil to repot my plants.
Nice. Did you finish eating that too before recording?
I did.
That's good.
Good.
Yeah. I ate a lot of potting soil. Two bags worth. Yeah.
Two bags. Okay.
Wow.
The most I've seen is four. So like, keep going at that pace, you'll be there in no time.
And I'll keep you updated on that one. Yes. Yeah. Maybe next time.
Maybe. Who knows?
Anyways, but what are we talking about today, Ben?
Well, it's funny you mention it. We're talking about gladiators today.
What? Whoa. That's crazy.
What a coincidence.
I forgot from last week's episode.
Man, I'm glad we're talking about gladiators.
Why'd you pronounce it like that?
Yeah, what's the joke? What were you saying there?
I don't know.
Gibberish.
I'm scared.
Anyways, today we're going to be doing something a little different. We have done a lot of debates in the past, but this one is going to be a little bit more of a tournament-style debate, which we've also kind of done with Gabe's, what was it, dessert?
It was or, baked goods baked episode. Goods, yes.
Yes. We're just going to be doing the baked goods episode again, but it's going to be gladiators this time.
Yeah.
So we'll start it off with a quick little quiz question. What do you guys think the origin of gladiators was? A, a funeral tradition, B, a punishment for criminals, or C, no one really knows?
I feel like we don't know.
I mean, I'm going to go with B.
Okay, so nobody knows for Gunner, punishment for criminals for Dylan.
Pretty sure it was like a punishment for prisoners of war at some point in its history, but I'm going to say that we don't really know because I think it dates back further than that. I'm going to say C.
Okay. You're all wrong.
Oh.
It's A. It used to be a funeral tradition.
like throwing the bouquet at a wedding, but it's just like, who's next to die?
Yeah, me throwing the javelin instead. Yeah.
is it just a never-ending stream of, you know,
funerals?
Of funerals? Because, like, somebody's got to die each time. Oh, no.
So what would happen was, like, a wealthy aristocrat family would have a loved one pass away, and then at their gravesite, they would just have two slaves fight to the death. and it would be kind of like a human sacrifice to honor the dead by killing more people.
Just one person dying wasn't enough.
Some demented ass shit, man. Rich people have always been fucking crazy for no... What is the point? Don't tell me no sacrifice for the dead. They're just pissed and they want to see somebody else die. They're pissed that one of theirs die and they're like, I can't be alone in my suffering. And then they just want to make other people die. That's all it is. You can't convince me otherwise.
Watch me.
Oh. When you put that.
Let's see it. Convince him.
Nah.
Oh, it worked.
Wow, holy shit.
So yeah, that was kind of the origin of gladiators. It kind of happened around the late BC. So like it really became popular right around the first century. What happened was it became...
Ben,
what did I miss? Ben, what did I miss?
It's gonna come up on my screen recorded audio, but you're just like, so it dates back to BC, and you paused for a good like 10 seconds, and then the rest of what you said was just like garbled gibberish.
Do I sound okay now?
Yes.
Yeah, you're fine. It just added, like,
but no, Gunner's. What's going on with Gunner?
Bro's anonymous.
Now Gunner's just really blurry.
Bro did not want his identity.
About gladiators. Bro, we're going to be talking about gladiators. And honestly, I don't want to share my opinion about them publicly.
We got to get this story out.
Myself.
The joy of Logitech webcams that always go out of focus for no reason. There he goes.
There he is.
I'm back, guys.
Woo, yay!
Okay, so...
Anyway.
Gladiators became popular around the first century. It really became popularized when Julius Caesar's daughter passed away. And he was like, you know what? I'm going to just have like 100 gladiator fights and have 100 more people die because my daughter died. And so he did that and everybody was like, yeah, that was cool. And so it just became really popular from that point on. So we can all thank Julius Caesar.
I think we can actually thank
his
daughter. That's
the last thing you think. Yeah. Julius Caesar for it.
Yeah, seriously.
Thanks, Julius Caesar's daughter.
Thanks for dying.
Thank you.
Thanks for dying to empower another tyrant to do terrible things to people.
All right, now everybody say thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Caesar.
But yeah, gladiator fights mostly happened in the Colosseum. There were always little, you know, gladiator spats here and there at gladiator schools, which were dotted around Italy and other surrounding areas. But I'm going to ask another quiz question that'll lead us to the next little segment about this. What do you guys think?
Before we go forward, you said gladiator schools.
Yes.
So there's only one graduate. There's only one person that's going to leave there. What do you mean a gladiator school? You said there's spats there. They're just going to kill each other. What are you talking about? You can't just gloss over that.
The next question was going to answer that, but you're like, well, I have something to say, actually.
I thought you were just going to keep going because you didn't even put any emphasis. You're like, oh, yeah, the spats at the gladiator schools.
Yeah, you know, little spats, Tuesday. Only one person came out alive. Anyway, moving on.
Okay, gladiator schools were basically training sites for gladiators. They weren't just killing each other every morning. Like,
say the Pledge of Allegiance and then just start stabbing.
Somebody's like, they're all sitting in desks like at FC just stabbing each other in the back. No fair, I had to sit in front of this guy.
The one kid still sitting down. Respect what this was built upon.
Oh my god. Alright, sorry, continue. Yeah.
No, you're fine. So gladiators would live and train at these schools. They weren't... When I say spats, I don't mean like actual full-on gladiator battles. I just more mean like they'd fight each other, not always to the death, but like they would do just like practice sessions, and people would and could come to watch. Typically wealthy people, yet again, if you hadn't figured that one out by now. But my next question was going to be, what do you guys think the likelihood of dying in gladiator combat was? 50-50, 1/4, 1 in 5, or 1 in 10?
A.
I guess it depends on how many gladiators are usually in a fight. But even then, wait, even then, even 50-50 sounds too high.
We'll just say if it's a one-on-one gladiator fight.
I don't think it was always to the death. I think that's what you're getting at. I'm going to say 1 in 5, if that was an option.
1 in 5?
Yeah.
I'll say 1 in 10.
Okay. Everybody but Dylan is right.
How?
How?
Because it's answer.
Two cheeseburger meal again.
Oh,
it was two answers. It was both 1 in 5 and 1 in 10. Because historians can't decide on which one it was. So they're just like,
so
it's
one my problem?
So
it's,
bro was just the only wrong one. Oh my God.
But like, the thing is, Dylan, you fell into the trap because most people think that it was always like just a 50-50 fight to the death, but it wasn't, because there were actually referees who would step in when somebody got seriously wounded and be like, okay, that's enough. That's enough.
I don't know. I guess I'm lowering my standards for what would be assumed to be ancient times and what quality of life humans had for their surroundings and their peers and everything. Because obviously, like, you look at medieval times, look at knights and kings and monarchies, like, they didn't care about people. If somebody got the cold, they just let them die. So, like, to have somebody there being like, oh, this person can't die, like...
Safety first!
Yeah. Yeah, it's just, it's unheard of. So I guess I've learned something. Thank you. Yes. Thank you.
Of course. Of course. That's what I like to do. So, moving on from that, my favorite thing to talk about when talking about gladiators is the different classes of gladiators that there are. There are different types of classes of gladiators who have different weapons, different armor, different fighting styles or tactics, and just different backgrounds in general. So I've tasked each of the boys with choosing two classes to research and then just give a brief little presentation on kind of what that gladiator was. And then between those two that they chose, they have to explain who would win in a fight between those two classes and why they think so. So I can just go first. The first one that I chose was called, I think I'm pronouncing it right, the Hoplomachus. So the armor of the Hoplomachus resembled the Greek infantry at the time, which were heavily armored, which is kind of weird because the Hoplomachus does not seem very heavily armored. They had a helmet, large greaves, which are like the metal boots that kind of run up like to your knees or higher. They also had a manica, which was either linen or leather, or even sometimes metal plates, and it would be on one arm, starting from the shoulder down, and then heavy leg padding. They usually had nothing covering their chest or torso, and they were usually barefoot. And then what they carried was typically a spear and a short sword, and they also had a little round shield that they would carry. They used their shield a lot as a weapon, and so not even just the spear or sword, but they would use that to like ram or stun their opponents. And their sword fighting strategy was pretty standard, just kind of like Greek infantry. They not only resembled them in appearance, but also their fighting style. The next one that I chose was called the Thracian. I think I'm pronouncing that one right, too. These are all going to be hard to pronounce, so forgive us all. Yes. But Thracians were from Thrace, which was far east of Italy. Their armor was pretty much identical to the Hoplomachus. Pretty much everything about them was identical to the Hoplomachus, just that they were usually from Thrace. Sometimes they would carry large rectangular shields, though, and their helmets were very distinctive because they were tall, had a wide brim, and usually feathers protruding from the top of them. Between the two of them, between Thracians and Hoplomachus, I'm going to pick that the Thracian would win because that is technically what Spartacus was considered, because Spartacus was from that area. So just for my boy Sparty, I'm gonna go with the Thracian as the winner for mine. Boy Sparty. Who wants to go next?
I can go. So my two are way cooler in every single way. So I started off, the first one I chose was the, I think I'm pronouncing this correctly, Scizoris. So from what I could find, of course I choose this one. We're tasked with researching, and the first thing I see when I look up this is very little is known about these. very little is known about them, but what we do know is that their weapon was a sword that consisted of two blades appearing like open scissors with large shear-like blades on them. So they literally were just like open scissors. That's what they'd fight with. And then they wore a helmet with very small eye openings and a metal, what did you call it, gleets?
Gleaves.
Gleaves, that's what it is. Oh, a metal gleave on their left leg, nothing on their right leg. They didn't have a shield, but they did have like leather around their right arm to protect their right arm. And they would often fight agile and light equipped gladiators. So they would never really fight their own kind. They would only fight people that were also very like agile and not very well, you know, protected. They didn't have a shield or anything. So that's goofy as fuck. That's so goofy that they're fighting with giant open scissors. That's so funny. The other
one, a gladiator school. Don't run with scissors.
Did you say gladiator school?
Yeah.
No running with scissors. Yes, fighting with scissors. So the second one I chose was the Aquites or Equus or Aquites. Pick whichever one you want me to say. So these fighters were unique because they were the only class of gladiators to fight on horseback, and thus they were only allowed to fight other Aquites fighters or Equites or whatever. So the battle would start with the fighters using long spears and shields to try to impale or knock their opponent off of their horse, which is very similar to other like knight battles on horseback. They had very, very small circular shields that were perfect for use on their horseback, which makes Aquites even more unique, is that they had two different weapons for two different types of fighting. So once the gladiators were off of their horses, which inevitably they would only be on their horses for the first part of the fight, they would use a gladius or like a little sword in a lot more of a traditional style of combat. They had helmets, they had little teeny tiny shields, and they had leather wrapped around their legs to protect their legs. But other than that, they had nothing. They were completely naked. Well, not clothing-wise naked. They were just no armor on the rest of their bodies. And as much as I want the Scizoris to win, because that would be so funny if they're chop, chop, chop. They have a chance, but I mean, come on. They're not on a horse. There's a reason that the Aquites would only fight other Aquites fighters. You have basically armor in the form of a meat shield on your horse. So I think they would win out of the two, unfortunately.
Fair.
I'll go next if that's okay, Dylan.
Yeah, that's fine.
All right, so I didn't get to choose these. These were just the last two left. So my first one is Secutor. This gladiator, this type of gladiator, wore like a loincloth, basically, called a subgluteculum. Anyways, I don't know. A beltius, which is just a wide belt. I don't know what the function of it. I assume it's just to protect like the abdomen, and then a manica, which was like it was metal wrapping on one of the arms, and then on one hand he would carry a shield called a scutum. It almost looks like scrotum, but it's not. Anyways, and so it's just this large rectangular shield that's curved. And so they'd wear that, and then on the other one they'd hold like a dagger, ish, called a gladius, or it might be like a short sword. So there's that. But their biggest one is that they wore like this big helmet, right? And they're really trying to the main point of the Secutor is to fight the Retiarius, which held a triant. So they would have a helmet with small eye holes, and it was a bulky helmet, went across the shoulders. And and so a small eye hole so they couldn't get hit in the face, but everything else was exposed from what couldn't be protected by the shield. Anyways, so, of course, the last two I get stuck with, the Mermio, which is the other one, is essentially the same thing.
Oh.
Yep. It was just a little bit of spaced out, a little bit of a different time period. Point of this one was to replace the gladiator called the Gallus or the Gallus, which was just named after the Gauls. And so they were usually portrayed as like a villain, but again, same thing. They had this large helmet, and then you know, small eye holes. They would actually fight lions. That was their whole thing.
Hell yeah.
Was fighting lions. Yeah, but so you might be wondering what the difference is between them. Well, from what I could find, the difference was in the helmet. So Romeo, gladiators, and Secutor, very similar. But Secutor's helmet didn't have a visor, while the Mermio did.
Mm.
Yeah. So, hence why I'm going to choose the Mermio between the two of mine. One, because they have a visor, which, like, you don't want to get blinded by the light, right? You know, so that'd be the last thing you want, and that's how you lose your battle. But two, they're not trained to fight another human. They're trained to fight these, like, giant animals, right? So they're, you know, probably a little bit more aggressive with their tactics, and then probably know how to defend themselves quite better. So that's why I will choose the Mermio.
Very nice.
That's fair.
Yeah.
All right, Dylan.
All right. So my two classes were... First, I'll talk about this one first. The Provocateur. Very, very suggestive name, I know. When I was saying which one I wanted, my autocorrect said Provocateur. Which, I mean, if you look at the images of a Provocateur, fair to make that assumption. The Provocateur, Gladiator, was a fighter that most resembled a typical Roman soldier in their earlier introductions to the arena. Later, as they became a recurring fighter class, their style, weaponry, and armament evolved, but they still held many commonalities with their origins. Essentially, what this means is that the Provocateur was just like the Secutor and the Mermilo, but the only difference here is that they had just a little bit more armor. Their sword was just a little bit different, and once again, their helmet also was different. These guys were what you typically picture whenever you think of a gladiator. Like, you think of, like, big guy in a coliseum going up against the puny wimpy guy. That big guy that you see in those movies, that's what they typically based them off of, is the provocateur class in gladiator fights. Provocateurs would typically be paired up against other provocateurs, so that way, you know, the battle kept mainly fair, because obviously provocateurs, if they went up against other, like, classes, like the one I'm about to talk to here in a minute, it could be seen as a little bit unfair, just due to how much armor they had on their body, along with the type of weaponry and skill that they had, because that's, I think, the big key difference, is that their level of skill was very much different, and it was very much a battle of who can think quicker and smarter than their opponent. And that's what made the provocateurs and what made them such a sight to see, and what left everybody going home happy. My other class, on the other hand, I'd say my big hot take here is probably the most unique out of all of the other classes that are here. This being the Reciario, or something like that. I'm probably butchering that name. Reciaro. I'm going to say Reciaro for the rest of the time. The Reciaro, or also often pronounced as the Rithyrius, whatever. I'm going to keep going with the other name, Reciario. They were a Roman gladiator who fought with equipment styled to that of a fisherman. They possessed a weighted net and a three-pointed trident, and also a dagger. They wore very light armor, wearing a manica, however you pronounce it, and a shoulder guard. Typically, their clothing consisted of only a loincloth held in place by a wide belt or a short tunic with light padding. They wore no head protection and barely to none, or little to no, footwear or foot protection. funny fun fact, these guys were actually pitted against Sekitors during like showings or battles or whatever of that sort. Now you're probably thinking, for somebody that is probably the lightest equipped in terms of armory and also the most, if you want to say from a bland POV, the most disadvantaged with their weapons, you'd think these guys would kind of just be the feeder for a bunch of people. Well, I am going to probably be the wild card here and say that in a battle between the Provocateur and my Reciario, I believe Reciario would win. And the reason why I say this is because the Reciario has something that only one other class or gladiator has at their capabilities. That is a ranged weapon. A ranged weapon that not only serves as a attack, but also as a deterrent and a distraction to their opponent. This is often why I like, you know, in first-person shooter games or whatnot, why I like classes with certain types of mobility and whatnot, because also having not as much armor makes them more nimble and lighter and quicker on their feet, meaning that if somebody is able to throw a net around you and you're already wearing a helmet, so your vision's already messed up, and it's a weighted net, you're going to be trying to get that stuff off of you. And while that's happening, some guy with a big trident is just stabbing you repeatedly and continuously stabbing you until either you die or the newfound referee that I didn't know about until like a few minutes ago comes and steps in and says, that's enough. So Reciario, I believe, would be the winner in my bout between my two gladiators.
Fair. Yeah, that'd be terrifying. It's like once you get that net around you, it's over with.
See, in my research of the Scizoris or Scissors, they said that they would often be put up against them because the scissors obviously would be very useful in a net attack.
You cutting get, yourself ding, 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 out ding, of
a net. I gotta get myself out of this.
And again, they were very lightly armored and agile, so that would be a very, very entertaining fight between the two. Scissors and net. That is hilarious.
It's kind of like rock, paper, and scissors.
Yes!
Well, it's funny you say that because starting here in a few seconds, that we're going to do a lightning round where since you said that, Gabe, I'm going to have you and Dylan go against each other. We'll have Gabe go first. You have 30 seconds, starting when I say now, to defend why the Scizoris would beat Dylan's gladiator.
Oh,
go.
before we start, I was gonna say I chose the Equit or Equus as the winner. I don't think that's very fair. I don't think that meshes well with all the others because I have a horse and nobody else has a horse. So I think for sake of this argument, I'm gonna choose the Scizoris as the winner, just because that'd be a more entertaining fight.
Go.
Okay, Scizoris, they go chop chop. I mean, like, yeah, you have a range weapon, but what's the point of a range weapon if scissors beat paper, you know? And also, you could just shear somebody's ACL, then they can't walk anymore. I mean, like, and you're more heavily armored than your fisherman. So even if you did have some attack on you that did land, it's less likely to do any damage to you, and you have a comically large pair of scissors to defend yourself with back. And notably,
finish your last.
No, thought. I was just gonna say notably very small eye holes, so you can't really get poked. That's it.
Okay. All right, good. You had some good points in there. I'm not gonna lie. Dylan, you can defend your position starting now.
All right. So I believe my gladiator would win because obviously they have the nets. And this is probably one of the only classes that has a counter to this guy. And while you think, oh, scissors, easier said than done, I feel like the net's kind of the least important factor in this because while the net definitely provides a nice distraction, even in a case where there is a direct counter to it, you're forgetting that the Reciario has a trident that not only is better than a dagger in terms of like its damage and its puncture wounds or puncture wound capability, its range, depending on how you wield it, keeps you at a distance between somebody that has a shorter blade and a shorter set of weaponry, meaning that even if they get past...
Finish your last thought.
Even if they get past the net, you are still going to be at the point where you can keep your distance and continue inflicting damage while they can't.
Right. I was gonna have just the other two vote, but I don't know if I want to. Yeah, we'll just do that because it'll be fair for everybody around. I'm just gonna go ahead, and I think that Dylan's Gladiator would probably win this one.
I agree, Dylan's Gladiator.
Gabe, you suck.
You're just terrible.
I went first.
Bro has you an have excuse the for everything.
I'm gonna just I say do. This. Even if you chose the horse, I still would have beat your ass.
Now that is not fucking true because I'm a big pokey. No. If we want to do the horse, we can do the horse. I have two fucking weapons. I have a big ass shield and a pokey. I have a spear. So don't come at me with your trident shit because I could doink and then take my sword out and doink on top of a horse.
My ass isn't going to care about you. It's going to care about the horse that doesn't have critical human thinking and can just get distracted even worse than a human can
but
by the net.
The horse listens to you. You can tell the horse to do something. It is like loyal
Sit.
To you.
Horses are stubborn. Bigger they are, harder they fall.
You can lead a horse to the gladiator arena, but you can't make it fight well.
I want you to fight horsey. Hell no! Hell no! Hell no! I'm going to ask you again. Hell no!
All right. Ben, it's you and I, right?
Yeah. Who wants to go first? You or me?
You can go first.
Okay. Which one was your winner again? Can you remind me?
Yeah. The Mermeal.
So just pretty much the same thing as mine, almost.
Yeah.
I think it's going to tie.
So,
I mean, they both go home happy.
Before we start this, can we clarify what differences there may or may not be between me and Gunners?
Because sure. I feel like four of the gladiators were essentially the same thing.
Right. Just like they evolved essentially to like be better than the previous. Or like they're like weight brackets like in boxing where it's like there's the lightweights, featherweights, heavyweights and cruiserweights.
Right. So, Gunner, mine for armor, mine had obviously the helmet, typically a large shield, a wide-brimmed helmet, gleaves on both legs, and heavy padded like leg armor.
Okay. So mine had had the big shield and then also giant leather belt, which I did find was for abdominal and waist protection and to hold up its it's a groin cloth. Anyways, a manica, which is just protects the one arm that's holding the weapon, and then the giant helmet with the visor that would go down to the neck. So, yep.
Okay. I'll go ahead and start. Wait, what, did it have leg protection on both legs or just one? I can't remember.
No legs.
Okay.
All right, go ahead.
Okay, starting. So, I think mine would win because Gunner doesn't have leg protection.
This was stupid. This was a stupid activity. You're just like, so what does your class have that mine doesn't? Oh, it doesn't have leg protection. Okay, I'm going to be Gunner because I...
So Gunner's has more abdominal protection than mine, but mine also has a shield, so I think mine is better
also
off
have
protecting
a shield.
His... Yeah, but you don't have to worry about... I don't have to worry about my legs. You have
bro
to worry
stumbling,
about your legs.
Bro stumbling!
He's losing!
That's time over.
What? Don't!
We were clowning
20
on you for
seconds.
Half of that.
I didn't realize you started.
My final thought. Gunner's doesn't have leg protection and mine was Spartacus. Okay, Gunner. 3, 2, 1.
Okay, so... Well, I don't have leg protection. I do have a shield that is about half the size of my body, right? My fighting style is not aimed at humans, but is aimed towards a larger beast, the lion, right? I have a great head protection, and then I have excellent arm protection that's protecting my dagger, right? So I'm not going to lose function of that. I will still be able to use that. I also have a helmet that is, protects me all around. So the vital part up here is all covered. So, it's just a fighting style paired with, it's the armor that it has.
Fine. Finish your last thought.
I think it would easily beat yours.
All right. The vote.
No, Gabe, I'm gonna be real. This doesn't seem fair because for 20 seconds we were just like, nah, bro, you lose.
Bro, you ugly ass. Yeah.
And then for Gunner, we're just like,
Yes. Yep. Mm-hmm. No, that's what I was saying. Ben, if you have anything else to say, just say it really quick. I was kind of like, I don't think we have time for it, but I wish we could go back and forth more so you could respond to like what each other say. But then if we let you do that now, I feel like that's almost cheating against Gunner at that. I don't know.
I mean, I to be fair, I do have like my thought process intact about like who I think would win. But obviously I the results may shock you is what I'm saying.
Yeah. I think human and big cat combat is just so different. I'm rooting for the big cat, if I'm being honest, but that's not what we're talking about. I almost think you wouldn't really be as prepared if you trained on big cats, if you trained on lion.
Mine would be different because as somebody who's I think about like the time it takes before and like the days leading up to a match, you know. Those days are spent trying to put your body through endurance of like, how are you going to react if a lion attacks you?
Yeah.
You know, it's different when it's another human attacking you because humans are like-minded. Lions and animals, you don't know what's going on in their heads because their minds are not like ours. So being able to get your body ready for the conditions of fighting a very pissed off lion, I feel like builds a body's resilience so that even in the case where both the classes are similar, the one who is trained to fight much more fiercer and genetically modified, designed to hunt down prey bigger than us, I feel like Gunner's Gladiator would win this bout. And once again, that's why I feel like it's a little bit unbiased because Ben's argument was essentially mine has leg protection and it's Spartacus. So
yeah, that's true.
But still, my thought process is still being with Gunner being the winner.
I'm having a difficult time because I feel like humans know humans, and humans know how to fight humans. Lions just see it as another animal, just like we see lions as an animal. But the thing is, we know how to fight lions based on experience. Like, I don't personally know how to fight lions, but you know, like if you're training for that, you know what to go for. A lion doesn't. So, like, this sounds like I'm going on a tangent, but this actually does have something to do with what we're talking about. I just feel like if you were trained on a lion who does not necessarily know strategically what to do versus a human which does know strategically what to do, and you also have a giant unwieldy shield to deal with built for a large animal instead of a little quick like lightly armored human, I feel like that would almost be your biggest downfall. But then again, you do still have a big ass shield, so I mean, I think Gunners, I'm not even going to try to say their names. I think Gunners would be on the defensive for more of it, but I think it'd take a lot to get through it. I don't think there'd be a lot of offense from Gunner's Gladiator. So my gut says that Ben's would win, but then we're tied and
you know what? A tie is okay because there's one more round that we're going to do. And if you guys couldn't tell what was going to happen, it was going to be a final round between the two winners, and I feel like I've already talked enough for this episode, so I'm gonna just have Gunner and Dylan go at each other with their gladiators, and then Gabe, you and I will vote on the final winner.
Okay.
Who would like to go first? And this time I'm gonna give you a minute because clearly 40 seconds was far.
That was 40?
Sorry, 30. It was 30.
Okay.
30 seconds was far too short, so I'm just going to say 1 minute and put the timer up on the screen. So, who would like to go first?
Gunner, would you like to?
Sure. Okay, so I'll start now. So I feel like it would go well against the trident because I have a giant shield to block the trident. Oh, okay. So there's a giant shield to block the trident, but the tricky part would be dealing with the net. So I feel like combating with the net, shield could help, you know, just kind of block the net, but also like a net can go around a shield. But I do have a dagger still to cut through the net. The other thing too is I am not as armored, so I'm still pretty, you know, one thing constraint with armor is too much of it makes you a little bit more constrained to motion. So I feel like I don't have that. However, the giant helmet does, giant helmet is pretty heavy and does have some restriction to it, but the Mermio also can go up against the Heplomachus. I was reading the wrong thing. Whatever. Anyways,
you're good.
There you have it.
All right, very good arguments. I like it. Dylan, are you ready to go ahead and start?
Mm-hmm.
All right, begin.
So, obviously, Gunner is correct. Obviously, his class has the advantage of having a shield, having a nice big helmet that protects all of his vital jugular organs around his neck and whatnot, meaning that my fight is definitely going to be a lot harder than my own fight myself. But my mind and my heart, at its core, always shoots and roots for the smaller guy. And the reason why I say that is because the smaller guy will always have something that the bigger guys do not, and that is something I mentioned earlier, endurance. They will keep going on and on and on. They are trained to be equipped at their least vital form. Somebody at that tier can fight somebody virtually naked with only the risk of having their own main weapon. So even with all that being said, and knowing that these Ruciarios have a trend of fighting these types of gladiators, I still feel like the Underdark could come on top just based off the factors that they are more trained to be under more extreme circumstances, and they can work well better under harsher pressure, meaning that my class would win. I yield my time.
Which was zero.
Right. Which was zero. Yeah, I had no more time left.
This is a much harder one. This is probably the hardest one so far, because I feel like the fact that you have the ranged weapon kind of goes out the door a little bit with Gunner's giant shield, because, you know, you're typically fighting people with shields, like, maybe, you know, not super big, so it'd be easier to just kind of juke somebody out or, like, bounce off their shield and, like, go down or whatever. But if Gunner's got a massive shield, you basically have to, run circles around him to get an opportunity to get at him with the trident. Then again, your net would give you the opportunity to maybe do that while he's trying to get himself out. This is a hard one. Gabe, what are your thoughts?
And to be fair, also, I just wanted to comment on too, like, this is probably what the people, like the poor civilians, or richer civilians, I'd say, would probably bet on as well, is that, like, this would be a top typical battle, so it's like, yeah. Really, who could win? So,
see, on this one, I feel like the shield is a lot, I don't know, I feel like the shield is very beneficial in this one specifically, because you have two ranged weapons. You have the trident and you have the net. Let's say even if you get the net around the shield, because you're obviously going to block yourself with the shield, you get the net around the shield. Oh no, he doesn't have a shield anymore. Gunner said he had a giant helmet that protects a lot of the vitals, and he still has a little teeny tiny dinky sword. And although Dylan's isn't as heavy with armor or anything, he still has a very large trident to try to swing around and try to poke with. So I almost, it's really hard. This one's really hard. I don't know.
My thing is, it's such a massive risk for Dylan's gladiator, because say he throws the net and gets it around him, he's got a pretty high chance of getting a chance to poke him.
Yeah.
But if he throws that thing and Gunner's shield, like, blocks it, or it just wraps around Gunner's shield, then he throws the shield or whatever, then I feel like Dylan might be in trouble, but then again, might not, because Gunner would have a hard time getting close to him with the trident. But I think if Gunner was able to get close enough, Dylan would be screwed, because then he'd have to, like, try to switch over to his dagger or whatever, but by then it'd probably be too late.
Imagine this. Imagine a fisherman against Big Shield Man, and a Big Shield Man hides behind a shield and then tiptoes around the back, and then fisherman's like, he's behind the shield, and then he starts attacking the shield. Meanwhile, Big Shield Man is behind fisherman, and it's ding, 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 bam, done. Art of the decoy. What do you think of that? It's possible. It's not likely, but it's possible.
I think I'm going to have to just... I hate to say this because my gut is telling me Dylan's is going to win, but I want to give it to Gunners because I think it'd be pretty easy to get the net out of the picture with the shield.
Fair.
And then by that point, Dylan is kind of in a little bit more trouble.
And the trident could very, very easily get stuck in the shield. If it's, you know, a wooden shield, that'd be kind of hard to take out. I'll probably see. The thing is, I feel like in real life, it would literally just come down to skill level. I think this would be a very entertaining fight. I think they both have very good chances of winning, but I think in my mind, I think, Gunner's Gladiator would win this hypothetical fight.
All right.
Yeah, well, I mean, like, it's hard telling, honestly, because that's what people would, that's what they would sell the shows for, the gladiator shows, is to literally figure out that debacle, and, like, per each fighter, like, specific one in history, it's like, you know, they would change, it would vary, and, like...
Now, if my horse boy was in the fight, he would win everything.
I told you, my horse would, my guy would annihilate your horse guy in a moment. In a moment, just because you have a horse.
Okay, maybe he'd kill a horse, but then the guy has a second weapon. He has a big pokey, a shield, and a sword.
The guy's going to be like, no, my horse! My horse!
Leonard!
Also, what if the horse dies and falls on, like, the guy's leg or something?
That would suck.
Exactly.
But, like, I don't know, he still has a chance. I mean, hopefully he's been trained to bail at a good time.
Gabe, can I give you, is that what would happen? Because I was going to ask for more clarification about, you were like, inevitably they're both going to end up off the horses.
I think,
like,
genuinely, from what I could tell, I either the horse dies and both horses die, or they have, like, an actual, like you said, a referee come in and be like, okay, now time for you guys to, because it didn't, from my research, it didn't tell me why. It just said, okay, guys, eventually they're going to start fighting each other. And it's just like, well, I guess so. I think either the horses would die or the referee would just say, okay, it's time to fight with your hands and swords. And that's what would happen.
All right. Well, I hope you guys feel that you learned some stuff about gladiators and found it entertaining, because I sure did.
Yes.
Let's see. I'm in the mood for a pharmacy fact. Do we have one for today?
We do. So, have you ever wondered where brand drug names get their names? Well, there is usually a team of a creative marketing team that spends, you know, hundreds of hours coming up with a name. But sometimes there is no meaning behind the name. They just found a name and they said, this sounds good, and then they give it to that. So where brand names come from, such as, you know, brand names that you might be hearing a lot right now, such as like Trulicity or Ozempic, as like for injectable medications, all the way to like Zetia or Lunesta. You may not really know where they come from, but I would like to remind you that a creative marketing team spends hours, I mean hundreds of hours, just coming up with this one single name. So
yeah. Hey, they're goofy sometimes, because they always love doing white people spelling. They never spell things phonetically. They always spell them like with as many different unique letters to make it recognizable. Shit's goofy. Shit is goofy. And it's always like, it's always syllables that aren't found in a lot of English. Like, isn't there one called like Rexulti or something like that?
Yeah.
And it's just like, that's, I guess it worked because I remembered the name, but like, it's just, it's goofy. They're just gibberish. I feel like half the time.
I'm just imagining like a meeting for one of these teams. Like they're all just sitting in a big conference room with like a big whiteboard at the end, and somebody just goes up with a marker and is like, Benadryl, and everybody's either like, yeah! Or boo, get off the stage.
So some guy wrote Dylan Drill, and everybody was like, boo, and then boo. Ben shows up and writes Benadryl.
Yippee! Yeah, the pharmacist looking at Ben Gay. Wow, that's really good. Yeah. Yeah, Dylan Gay.
Well, that is interesting. I did not know that. Thank you, Gunner.
No problem.
All right. Mr. Gabriel, do we have any something new in marketing?
Oh, we're starting with marketing today. I'm very happy you asked. Yes. So as of recording this, we're recording this on June 10th, and that is the 2024 WDC happened today, or WWDC, my bad. It stands for the Worldwide Developers Conference. It is Apple's second biggest event of the year behind the iPhone announcement and all the other hardware announcements. They usually have three or four in a year, and this is the second biggest. They just announce all of their new software. So this year was pretty big. iOS 18 is coming this fall, and in iOS 18, you can customize your homepage by moving apps wherever you want them instead of them always locking at the top. So it's kind of more Android style. You can move them all over the screen wherever you want. You can also set colors of apps, so you can customize colors of apps, just whatever color you want. And there's a new dark mode version of the homepage. So you can completely make your homepage dark mode. There are a few tweaks to messages, the app, and the control center, the most important being that you can set messages to send in the future automatically. So you can, if you don't want to forget somebody's birthday, you can say, hey, Siri, well, I'm not going to say the word, but you can say, hey, assistant, text somebody June 15th at 12:01 and tell them happy birthday, and it'll do that automatically for you. They're also embracing emoji reactions, much like Instagram, Meta, Discord. You can respond. You can react with emojis in Messenger or messages, you can also lock specific apps, so people using your phone can't open apps unless they use Face ID. And you can even hide apps from view and put them in a locked folder, so people won't even be able to tell you that you have certain apps. Which just sounds like they're appealing to cheaters, if I'm being completely honest, or like kids with helicopter parents. And that was iOS. iPadOS, they finally introduced the calculator app, to which iPad users will know there's never been a native calculator app on iPadOS or iOS. If you have an Apple Pencil, you can handwrite equations, and the calculator app will solve them for you. Which is huge, obviously, in like math class and stuff. You could just write down your math equation that you're working on and it'll solve it for you. They also redesigned a few apps on iPadOS, namely the Office apps like Keynote. The really, really big thing that they are, and this is why it's marketing, the thing that they're pushing is AI. Everybody knew it was coming. They have a lot of AI components in their new in-house silicon. And they are calling it Apple Intelligence. So AI for Apple Intelligence. Yep.
I read that in.
So Apple Intelligence. And there's a bunch. There's a lot to this. Like, I'd say a good 30 or 40 minutes of the presentation was just on Apple Intelligence. But the big ones are Siri uses AI to recognize continuity in your conversations with it. So if you... say like, hey, what's the weather in Cleveland? It'll say, okay, weather in Cleveland. And you could say, okay, set a reminder to go there tomorrow. And it'll remember that you said Cleveland and set a reminder to take you to Cleveland tomorrow. And it also understands meanings of what you say instead of just the specific words of what you say. So like if you mess up, if you accidentally say, show me pictures of a butt. I mean, not a butt, a duck. It will be like, it won't be confused and be like, I don't know what you're talking about. It'll show you pictures of a duck. You can search your Photos app for specific things like an article of clothing somebody's wearing, or you can search videos for like specific instances in video. So like if somebody does like a backflip or something, you can search for this person doing a backflip and it'll find that specific part of the video. There's so much more. But my main point of this was that Apple is falling behind in the AI space, and this was huge. They're really pushing AI on iOS 18, iPadOS 18, and I think it's macOS Sequoia is the new one. They're really trying to bring everything into AI, bring everything together, because they have been falling behind Microsoft, ChatGPT, obviously. A lot of their competitors have been embracing AI, and now Apple's finally doing it too. So it'll just kind of, who knows, this is kind of a big moment for them as to whether it will succeed. They're also playing a little bit of a safer bet because they're introducing like the ability to use ChatGPT, and they're saying that they want to do other AIs in the future baked into the OS, so you can use ChatGPT in iOS. And their biggest thing with it, which is something, this is the last thing I promise, this is really long, but the biggest thing they're trying to push with this is that this isn't just AI, this is secure AI. A lot of the computation happens on your device. They make it a big point to not send things to the cloud unless they absolutely have to. And even if they do, it'll be safer, supposedly safer and more encrypted and blah, 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 and not sold and all this kind of stuff that a lot of people are afraid of with data collection these days. So it's just supposed to be a super secure AI that they are really pushing in this next year. So that is our This Week in Marketing for this week. What do you fellas think?
It still feels like it's way behind.
I mean, yeah, but something that Apple loves to do is they love making sure that it's all a part of the ecosystem, the Apple ecosystem, and their features are always super, super well baked and well embedded into that. So you can make your own emojis now with AI. You can type in what emoji you want, and it'll literally use AI to create an emoji for you in photos and that kind of thing. It's like there's definitely an Apple magic to it, but yeah, I agree with you. It's not as advanced.
Which is like, that is cool, but like when you said like, oh, it'll tell you, it'll ask you, if you ask it what the temperature is in Ohio and then say, okay, set a reminder to fly to Ohio. Doesn't normal Siri already fucking do that?
It's just supposed to be better. They've bragged about continuity in the past. I thought the same thing, but it's just supposed to be even better.
Well, I think the thing that Gabe was getting at is like, you could say Cleveland, and then in a second like request, you could just refer to it as there because you already said Cleveland in the last one, and it's like, oh, he's talking about Cleveland. You don't have to specify, but
like,
again.
I don't know. For me, I get Apple's thing. Like, I'm Apple ecosystem crazy. I have a MacBook, everything. I get it. But my thing is that with AI, it's something that, like, I'm not the biggest AI fan ever, really. But other AI companies, like OpenAI itself, like, and Microsoft and whatnot, AI, as much as I hate saying it, is growing exponentially at a very, very fast pace. And for Apple, just for now, just being like, okay, Siri can tell you if it can remember a conversation you had just 2 seconds ago. That's like, it's child's play in comparison to how fast the market's growing.
I get it. That's a very good point. But I think Apple has always taken the slow and steady approach and have always tried to make features as well baked as possible. Like, they care less about innovation and more about being able to play well with other Apple devices. So like something with that you will find specifically beneficial, Dylan, is that on this new macOS Sequoia and iOS, you can use your phone on your Mac. You can use, like, literally your phone can be sitting across the room, you can use your phone on your Mac, and your phone will stay locked, and you can just use it like you use an iPhone. So like, that's not like super technologically advanced stuff. It's just, that's useful to people who are in the ecosystem. So same thing with this AI stuff. It's like, it's not like making your bed for you or making you dinner, or like, it's not groundbreaking stuff. It's just super, super well-baked, hopefully. That's what they're going for. I'm not saying I think it is, but they're just wanting it to be super, super useful in the terms of the...
Like, fair enough, but also in that same WWDC, they're like, we added the calculator app to iPads. That's a real, by the way. They were like, that's a big thing they were hyping up, was finally adding the calculator app to iPads.
People have been asking it since the iPad came out. But at least when they released it, they also released the handwriting thing where you can just literally use your Apple. Yes.
All right. Well, I think that'll move us on to the Roblox
segment. The Roblox segment. Yeah. So typically, I coined it the Roblox fact of the week. And this will kind of be like a variety of Roblox things. Like, I typically have a today in Roblox history or whatever. But since the event that happened today in Roblox history isn't like much to be all crazy about, I'm also going to talk about some interesting things about like Roblox in general. So, with that being said, on this day in history, in Roblox history, on June 10th, 2021, the Roblox Corporation is sued for using copyrighted audio without permission. And what I mean by this is users who use the built-in beatbox system that was a gear on Roblox, they users could upload sound IDs that were obviously directly pulled from big artists, big games, etc., etc., and obviously UMG, who is a very big music label group, said this is terrible because they're a big music label group and they suck, and they sued Roblox because these kids were uploading audios, which started a big purge in a bunch, and which kicked off the huge purge in audios on the Roblox platform. But that's really it for things in history. But and the cool like Roblox fact is, did you know that during the first and second ever The Next Level live streams, and for the viewers, The Next Level was a Roblox hosted live stream where Roblox staff members would bring on a special guest host and they would just play Roblox for like an hour and a half or whatever. The special guest host for the first two episodes was Mr. Telemon himself, John Shedletsky, and the fun thing he said was, what he did is he offered a 20,000 Robux bounty for the first person to record or live stream any weird evidence of a weird occurrence in Apocalypse Rising. And what he ended up referring to was the Patience Zero Easter egg that was found in the original APOC game. Ben's shaking his head because he knows exactly what I'm talking about. Essentially, it was an Easter egg where if you're in like a certain... Well, no, it even didn't really matter. It's like every now and then the game would start glitching out. A bunch of scary things would happen. A big, like, scary black figure would be out in the field. He'd get closer to you and then it would attack you. And when you woke up, you had one HP. You're in the main hospital in the main city, Kin. And you had to revive. It was a big thing, and Shedletsky wanted evidence of this. Hence why he had such a big bounty for the time. It was 2014, I believe. So 20,000 Robux meant a lot back then.
I'd venture to say still does. I don't have 20,000 Robux.
I mean, yeah, it still does, like, for majority. But, like, if you're a developer, it's like 20,000 is, like, a, you know, buying a video game nowadays.
Yeah, valid. That's interesting. I didn't even know that.
Yes, it is.
I remember that back in the day, it was always terrifying just to be playing the game with friends, like building a base or something, and all of a sudden your screen just started glitching and there was just this dark figure coming towards you.
Yeah. Did that happen to you, Ben, when you played APOC?
It did. It happened to me twice.
It never happened to me whenever I played it, unfortunately.
Really?
I know. I missed out.
Well. All right. Well, that was a good one. I enjoyed that one. I do have a very brief legal fact for us today. It is about piracy, not the media piracy that is, you know, commonly referred to by the FBI warnings that you see before movies. What's up, Dylan?
You're talking about actual pirates?
Yeah.
Yay!
I'm not going to say too much about it. All I was going to say was, you hear a lot about piracy, but how much do you really hear about what happens to convicted pirates?
Convicted pirates!
Yar, I'd be behind the bars for attempted manslaughter.
They can't live within 1,000 feet of a harbor. Arrgh!
they have to register with the pirate registry.
The pirate registry.
Oh my god.
So, there was a study done in 2012. And it was, let me see, they were examining the average sentence for piracy in the Somali area, which is known as like the most high volume area for piracy to occur. So what was found was the average sentence for a piracy crime is 16 years. Were you guys expecting it to be more or less than that?
I mean, 16 sounds about right.
I mean, it depends on if anybody dies. I know Somali pirates were or are pretty vicious sometimes. So I guess if they kill somebody, I want it to be longer, but I don't know.
Yeah. So, yeah, that was pretty much all it was. Just a brief little thing. Did you guys know that the like lead pirate from Captain Phillips was housed in a prison in Indiana?
Do you know which one?
I think it was in Terre Haute.
Oh, okay, cool. I did not know that. That's really funny. Imagine
what would be my last place to live?
Terre Haute, Indiana.
Terre Haute, Yarr! you live your life on the seven seas, and then you get stuck in Terre Haute. They have a good Holocaust museum, but that's about it. Arrgh! Oh my god!
All right. were there any other segments or just kind of topics that you guys wanted to talk about while we're on here?
There's two. The first one was weird news. Are you guys wanting to hear some weird news for today?
Yeah.
Why not?
Yes.
Do you have any? Just kidding. So for today, as always, this comes straight from the Associated Press. African elephants call each other by unique name, new study shows. So African elephants call each other and respond to individual names, something that few wild animals do, according to new research published Monday. The names are part of elephants' low rumbles that they can hear over long distances across the savannah. Scientists believe that animals with complex social structures and family groups that separate and then reunite often may be more likely to use individual names. It's extremely rare for It's extremely rare for wild animals to call each other by unique names. Humans have names, of course, and our dogs come with their names. Humans have names, of course, and our dogs come when their names are called. Oh, that's what it's saying. Okay. That's a really weird way to say it. Baby dolphins invent their own names called signature whistles, and parrots may also use names. Each of these naming species also possess the ability to learn to pronounce unique new sounds throughout their lives, a rare talent that elephants also possess. Do you guys have any thoughts about it so far? What are you guys thinking?
I'll say pretty cool.
Very, very cool and very weird news.
So cool.
So the research was basically done... they use machine learning to detect the use of names in a sound library of savanna elephant vocalizations recorded at Kenya's Samburu National Reserve and Amboseli National Park. The researchers followed the elephants in jeeps to observe who called out and who appeared to respond. For example, if a mother called to a calf or a matriarch called to a straggler who later rejoined the family group. So you just like listening your mom saying, "Get your ass over here," and then you're like, "Oh, that's me," and then you go over. Pretty cool. Analyzing only the audio data, the computer model predicted which elephant was being addressed 28% of the time, likely due to the inclusion of its name. When fed meaningless data, the model only accurately labeled 8% of calls. So that's kind of statistically significant. That's some good evidence for it. And I'm not going to read any further into the article because that's all we really need to know. But I totally believe that they're smart. They're smart cookies, man. Elephants are smart. That's kind of cute. As if they couldn't get any cuter, they have little names for their own selves, which makes sense in pack animals, you know, that travel together.
Yeah, I wonder if like there's a way that we could recreate the sounds, like not as ourselves, like if we had the technology to recreate them, if they would respond to that as well.
I mean, if we just recorded the mom saying the name and then played it back. But then again, that's not really the same thing, because it's the mom's voice, and at that point we're just gaslighting the poor thing into thinking it's mama's calling it.
Gaslighting elephant. Yes.
Oh gosh, that's today's weird news. What do you guys have any thoughts?
It was weird, all right.
Oh heck yeah,
it was pretty cool. Oh,
thank you.
We had a lot of cool segments today.
Yes.
We did.
Did you say there was one other topic?
Well, there's one other thing. I just wanted to... I forgot. I meant to say this at the beginning of the episode, but happy Pride Month. I don't think we've ever mentioned it on the podcast, so happy Pride Month.
Happy Pride Month.
I believe we are all allies. If not, we are actually a part of the group. So that's all.
Yes, sir.
And the final thing would just be, what are the odds? If you want me to start that.
Yes, let's do what are the odds.
Yes! Happy Pride Month. What are the odds you cry?
What are the odds?
No, so what are the odds is a combination of a dare and a bet. There's an odds asker and a victim. The odds asker dares the victim to do a dare, and the victim gets to set their own likelihood of having to do the dare by setting a number. The higher the number, the less likely is the victim is to have to do the dare. On the count of three, a third party counts down, and the odds asker and the victim say a number between 1 and the number that the victim said at the same time. If they say the same number, the victim has to do the dare. If none of our individual odds to each other hit, we will elect one to become a descending odds, which is pretty self-explanatory. You will get it if we get there.
All right. I can start.
Yes.
Gabe, your elephant segment made me think of this. I did not have an odds prepared until that moment. What are the odds that you have to call your mom and refer to her as matriarch? Because you mentioned that in the elephant segment.
I thought you were going to say elephant. I was like, I'm not calling my mom an elephant.
That's so mean.
That's so horrible. I'm so glad you said matriarch.
No, you have to be like, hey, matriarch, I just wanted to check in. How's it going?
Dylan.
Yeah.
What are the odds that you have to change your alarm clock for the next week and all it can be is car horn? Old car horn, I think is what it's called.
Dylan, I think you know what to say.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, too. It's...
All right.
Three, two, one.
One.
Two.
Well, I guess you're waking up to car horn every morning.
I was
just for clarification, everybody.
Yeah.
The most visceral way to wake up. Okay.
My main concern is I was just never going to wake up because that doesn't seem like it'd be loud enough, but I don't know.
Dylan.
Mm-hmm.
What are the odds you get a photo of yourself printed out, just like a portrait photo? It can't be like a family photo. You have to be by yourself, just like looking at the camera. You have to get it printed out and you have to frame it and put it somewhere very visible in your house for an entire year. So just
a year.
Yes. Preferably your room, because that would be the funniest. But
framed picture of yourself in your own room.
Oh my God. That is really, really funny. What is like the cost to get like a big portrait like that and get it like the print cost is more what I'm thinking.
That's fair. I mean, I'll subsidize. I'll at least help out if not just buy it if it hits.
All right, then two.
Yeah.
God damn it. Okay, I won't buy it. I'll subsidize. All right, whatever.
So we're keeping it two still?
Yeah.
All right, three, two, one.
One. Yes.
Well, I gotta figure how to get this. I mean, I could honestly probably just replace it with
one above your bed.
I immediately looked at the Starry Night picture that's over my bed.
Can you do it like so? It would like the corner of it would be visible in the
yes.
background.
Yes. Can you put it on that little white? So like behind you, next to your door.
Or like over my dresser.
Yes, just so it's visible when we record. That would be
so fun.
I'll find a stud
to nail into the wall when nobody's home, and I'll be there.
Oh my gosh.
That's a good one.
That's really funny. Okay.
All right, well, we've come full circle.
Yes, it comes right back over to me. Then I guess I'll ask Ben. Mr. Benjamin.
Yes.
What are the odds that... you have to... Oh, man, I didn't think this through.
We had the longest time to think of any.
I know. I was looking at a Roblox game that was in, like, an event back in, like, 2010, and I thought, wow, it was really cool, and I wasn't even thinking about making an odds. shoot. Then I guess, like, what are the odds that... I feel like we should get more stuff geared for the Milwaukee trip. Okay, yeah, what are the odds that whenever we're in, like, Wisconsin and we're all at a place ordering breakfast, you, for your meal, you just have to have only grits?
Every
never
time?
Had grits before.
No, just one meal, we go out, like, and actually, to make it spicier, it'll be my call for when you have to order grits. You'd have no say on which restaurant.
We go to like
is.
The most famous
yes.
breakfast restaurant in all of Wisconsin.
And
all
I
of
will
Wisconsin.
Force Ben to just get grits. Yeah.
Does he have to finish them?
I mean, it's up to him. It's like if he doesn't eat them, he doesn't eat breakfast. So like that's
fair. Yeah.
I'll just say, I mean, there's always salt and pepper. I'll just say like seven.
All right. Okay. Three, two, one.
Three,
one. All right, it doesn't hit.
Yeah. And two odds hit. two odds hit.
Well, I guess
one technically.
Yeah, one.
So.
Yes. I'm very happy that that hit.
Pro's just gonna have to wake up to Garhor now. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
I can't remember. What was the time frame to where you have to wake up to that?
A week.
Oh, just a week. Okay. I don't know why my mind made it up to be like a month or something.
All right. Well, we made it through all four hosts of the first round of season one.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Season four.
Reality with the Twist is brand new, guys.
Welcome back to the flashback.
Do we have a teaser for our next episode, Gabe, or are we going to keep it under wraps?
I've been tossing around multiple ideas, and depending on when we see each other next, our next episode might not even have a host, because Gunnar and I have been talking about a very specific... Gunnar, I'm just going to say it. We've been talking about making Midwest treats and having like a taste test of Midwest treats on the podcast and recording it. So like... things that we didn't even necessarily know were specifically to the Midwest, just trying them and giving a little reviews. So that might be it, but if it's mine, I don't have one. I've tossed around a few ideas. Knowing me, it'll probably be something food related.
Well, those are the fun ones. So, all right, everybody, thank you for listening. Go check us out at rwetpod on Instagram. Gabe, what's our email?
realitywiththetwistpodcast@gmail.com. If you email us, we will respond. 100%. You can give us show ideas, you can give us feedback, you can curse at us, I don't care, but we will respond.
Alright, I've been Ben.
I've been Gabriel.
I've been Gunner.
And I've been Dylan.
And we'll see you next time on Reality with a Twist.
Bye.
There he is! It's Iron Man! He came back!
Oh,
thank God! Thank